As we speak, the three candidates in the presidential election are just leaving the building from which we're broadcasting. In a studio down the corridor, they've spent the last hour or so with Áine Lawler on The Week in Politics in the latest televised debate of the campaign. And as I'm sure you've been hearing, the latest opinion poll shows some of them have more ground to gain than others. The Sunday Independent Ireland Thinks poll puts Catherine Connolly in the lead on 32%, with Heather Humphreys in second place on 23%, and Jim Gavin trailing on 15%. Good news for some, a wake-up call for others. So will this afternoon's debate move the dial on those numbers? We're joined now by our own Sandra Hurley and Professor Gary Murphy from the School of Law and Government at Dublin City University. Good afternoon to you both. Sandra, talk us through how it went for the three of them.
Yes, I thought it was quite a feisty debate. What was notable, I suppose, was that Jim Gavin and Heather Humphreys were more assertive, perhaps particularly Heather Humphreys. I think Fine Gael would be happy with that. And they went on the attack against Catherine Connolly. No surprise now that given that Catherine Connolly has this lead in today's poll. Catherine Connolly, though, was under pressure on the Airigi question in particular. There was also a very clear divergence between them on with Jim Gavin and Heather Humphreys on one side and Catherine Connolly on the other in relation to defence spending, in relation to Russia and the war in Ukraine. But I thought there was a particular difficulty for Jim Gavin. There was a story yesterday in the Irish Independent with a former tenant of his saying that he overpaid rent and that he was owed €3,300. Jim Gavin was asked about that today. Now, he didn't go as far as saying that he definitely owes the tenant the money, but he said he was sorry. He said he was dealing with it and he said he would address it. And I think that is a potential problem.
Let's just take a listen to some of what he had to say to Áine Lawler.
Like a lot of families, Áine, and couples, we got into financial difficulty at that time. And on that particular issue, I don't have all the information to date.
It's very simple. Most people know if they owe somebody
I really am.
And you still haven't told me whether it's a debt you've ever cleared.
As I said, Áine, it was over 16 years ago. Very stressful time for the family. I'm looking into it and I will deal with it with urgency.
He said at one point, Gary, if it happened, I'm very sorry that it happened. Did his answer on that do enough to clear it up?
I'm not sure it did, Fran. I mean, there are two ways of looking at a presidential debate and a presidency. You have a vision and then you have a story, a personal story or a political story. And Fianna Fáil, I think, were taking a bit of a gamble on Jim Gavin, that his personal story, ogling the hearing service at the Irish Aviation Authority, Dublin GAA, Citizens Assembly, would resonate with the public. And I don't think that has happened yet. And I'm not sure his performance today will have convinced people to vote for him on that sort of record, where he certainly is very much politically inexperienced. And, you know, no one wants to be accused pretty much of what Jim Gavin was accused of yesterday in the Irish Independent, of not paying a debt, particularly in something as, you know, fundamental to the Irish society today as housing. And we saw housing as an issue in the debate. I thought he was better today than he was on Monday's debate. Now, it's only his second ever time appearing really in public as part of a debate. And he grew into it. I mean, at the first question, actually, the sort of your vision, I thought he was pretty weak on that. He had it rehearsed, but it didn't come across very convincingly. He grew into the debate a bit and was willing to challenge Catherine Connolly in particular. But I think people watching would have said, look, this was two government candidates and one anti-government candidate. And I'm not sure people will have changed their minds from what they heard today.
On that issue of housing that you mentioned, Heather Humphreys was asked about that. She described the issue as a challenge on Drive Time during the week. That issue was raised and she set out her position on housing.
I have huge sympathy for people that can't get a house. I understand that they are putting off life decisions because they can't get a house, and we need to do more in terms of housing. I absolutely accept that people need to have houses, and it's important.
And a government that has talked and talked and talked while the situation got worse and worse and worse, and is now revising downwards the targets for this year and the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, billions are being spent on housing, and it's important that we see results. And as president, I will highlight those issues. I have no problem doing that.
One of the criticisms by some analysts, Sandra, of Heather Humphreys to date in this campaign is that she kind of goes into government minister mode when she's speaking. Was she doing that today, or did she manage to move away from that position?
I don't think she's fully moved away from the position, and I think it points to the fundamental problem for her. She is the most politically experienced of the three candidates. She has 10 years sitting around the cabinet table, but that is also her weakness because she has to account for all those government decisions, and it is difficult for her to really trenchantly criticise the government's performance on housing in particular when she was part of that government, because it is also a criticism of herself. She took those cabinet decisions as well. So housing is a difficulty for her. And it's going to be hard for her to move on from that. It's very clear that she is seen as sort of the establishment candidate. Catherine Connolly can play more as the anti-establishment candidate.
Gary, one of the things we saw in this debate was more energy. And if you look at Catherine Connolly on 32%, I'm sure when those poll numbers came in last night for the other two campaigns, it was a realisation that we have to start focusing on this candidate.
Yeah, so on the poll for Catherine Connolly, 32%, I mean, I think it's clear that the left is solidifying behind her and is fully in support of her. I think Sinn Féin have really committed to her in a way that I wasn't sure would be the case. Now, just to go back, 1990, Brian Lennon got 44% of the first preference vote and he couldn't get the extra 7% on transfers. And I think transfers will be very important here. And of course, if we take what we have at the moment, Jim Gavin would be first out, and then will all his transfers or the vast majority of them go to Heather Humphreys? Well, I think that's what both government parties are hoping will happen, or vice versa. But I think the Connolly campaign will be happen. She clearly has a vision. It's a different vision to, I think, what both, we call them, the government candidates have, and she's not resiling from it. I think her difficulty today was on the Russia question. She wasn't very convincing. She said that she had condemned the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but every time she mentions Russia, she also mentions Israel. She cannot answer it on its own, and I think that might be a difficulty with those. And there is a large number of undecideds, and I think that's where the campaign is going now.
And one of the other big issues we know she's been facing is this issue of somebody she employed in Leinster House. Catherine Connolly was asked by Áine about her employment of a woman in the Oireachtas who had a conviction for arms and ammunition possession, and about reports that that person was under Garda surveillance at the time.
When did you know that this person was
under
Garda surveillance?
I did not know anything about Garda surveillance. I understand the former Ken Corley didn't know anything about Garda surveillance. This person was signed in by me every day, and the vetting process was taking place. Okay. Because it's really very important, because we have an absolute transgression of privacy laws here, and this innocent person is being used as collateral damage to do me damage as a candidate, and I can deal with that.
Sandra, in a campaign like this, when you're constantly explaining an issue that arises, it's a problem, and this story has been hanging around for quite a few days now.
Yes, exactly. And it hasn't been fully put to bed because there's more revelations in the newspapers today that were put to Catherine Connolly today. What's also clear is the other two candidates see it as a weakness for Catherine Connolly because they both went on the attack during this particular segment of the debate. Catherine Connolly has tried to turn it around and say that this is an invasion of privacy and that it's unfair on the individual concerned. But I'm not sure that's going to play with all the voters. They want to hear an explanation for what went on here and how much Catherine Connolly knew. You'd also have to say, though, that the story came out a few days ago. The polling that we're seeing today was conducted on Thursday and Friday, and it doesn't seem to have hurt her so far.
Yeah, you would expect, with a massive undecided number as we have, 31%, Gary, that issues like this could factor in there, could they?
Yeah, and I think it will be about not privacy and the rights of the person named as working for Catherine Connolly, but the judgment of the candidate. And I think that's what undecided voters will be thinking about. Can I trust the person to make good decisions in government? And if you've made bad decisions, I'm not saying this is a bad decision, it's a personal decision that Catherine Connolly is happy to stand over. Well, I think the voters will make their own judgment on that. But I think she will probably be happy enough. I don't think she dominated or won the debate the way she won, I think, on Monday night. But she was able to defend her position and get through without any, you know, rockets going off. And I think with, you know, two weeks and 5 days to the campaign, I think she's in a decent position.
If she did win, like you say she did the other night, who did emerge as the leader in this?
I thought Heather Humphreys had a good debate. I thought she was much more much stronger. Now, Sandra's right earlier on, the weakness, of course, is the decade in government, and you could say that should be a strength. I've been re-elected, but housing is a huge issue. Presidents can't do anything about housing. Like, has Michael D. Higgins done anything about the housing crisis? No, but of course he can raise it, and she said she agreed with him when he described it as the great sort of crisis of our time. But she was certainly, I think, a bit more assertive and and aggressive than she was on Monday night. And I think Fine Gael, this is a very important election for Fine Gael, will be hoping that that sort of trajectory will continue to grow and resonate with those undecided voters. If you look at that 23%, that's about the Fine Gael vote, give or take, over the last couple of elections. But she'll need to push that well up into the 30s to be competitive.
You could see a change in her approach, Sandra, couldn't you? And even Áine said it to her, she made a comparison with the Virgin Media debate. Mm-hmm. Very much they have focused on their approach, haven't they?
Yes, undoubtedly. You know, from the get-go, she was asserting herself and going on the attack against Catherine Connolly. That was very clear. But what's also clear from the numbers in today's poll is the size of the undecideds at 31%. Now, that's not surprising. We're 2.5 weeks out. But the analysis there is that the undecideds are more likely to break for Heather Humphreys and Jim Gavin, that the people who have made up their minds at this point are the left-wing voters, people who support Sinn Féin and the other left-wing parties that are backing Catherine Connolly. So Catherine Connolly needs to try and hold on to this lead. The analysis also tells us that if Jim Gavin goes out first, that his transfers are going to go to Heather Humphreys at a rate of slightly over 2-1. So Catherine Connolly, again, needs to be way out front in that first count in order to win. That's what the numbers are telling us today.
I mean, I think because this is a national election, you know, literally anything could happen. And the 2011 election would be the classic example of how things can change so dramatically. Like, who remembers polls 2 weeks out? But they were showing where Sean Gallagher was going to win very convincingly, even a week out. And then we had the frontline debate. So I would say that over the course of the next 2.5 weeks, you know, things are going to get a bit more exciting. And I think the debate today was probably the beginning of that.
Many a slip between cup and lip. One of the things Mary Lou MacDonald said when they decided to back Catherine Connolly, they said it would be a game changer. And I was reading a piece from Kevin Cunningham in the Sunday Independent today to say that Sinn Féin support for Catherine Connolly was at 50%, half. It's now gone to 3/4 of Sinn Féin voters. It does appear to have worked in terms of the poll, doesn't it?
I do think Sinn Féin have rode in behind Catherine Connolly in a way that I think the Connolly campaign was hoping, but maybe not expecting. I mean, and Sinn Féin, their growth over the course of the last decade or so has been on a strong grown game and, you know, big canvases. And I think if that comes out, and if they can get their vote out, now this is a big question. The Sinn Féin vote was, what was it, just 20% in the general election. If they can get a big vote out, I think there'll be a bit of a momentum behind Catherine Connolly. But her big issue still, I think, remains, Fran, beyond the left, beyond the anti-government. Can you get people who are sort of, you know, feel a bit meh about the government and get them to actually put their number one or their number two to her?
So,
and an issue as well, I suppose, that we're seeing that younger voters seem to be supporting Catherine Connolly more. They need to come out and vote for her on that bank holiday Friday when people might have other plans. There's been talk of people trying to get maybe buses on to try and get voters to the polls. Sinn Féin might be key to that. We have seen Sinn Féin, just looking at their social media, TDs are out and they are canvassing their local constituencies, and that would be very important for Catherine Connolly. But I did note today she's not going to be answerable for all the policies of all the parties backing her. She said at the top she's an independent candidate with an independent mind, so she's not saying that she needs to agree with everything that those parties are putting forward.
Which is probably wise when you're in the midst of a campaign. Sandra Hurley, Gary Murphy, thank you both for joining us. In a moment, how could Budget 2026 impact you?